I'm Darren Kopic, President and CEO of the Agricultural Retailers Association.
Ag retailers could be facing a lot of different changes coming up to some new regulations. And first off, that being some new changes with OSHA requirements. What is a facility that has retail or not? Can you give us an update on what those new requirements are and how that could potentially impact our ag retailers?
Certainly. It's an issue centered around anhydrous ammonia, and so it will directly impact any dealers who are handling that product and, of course, any farmers who are buying it for their fertilizer product. What OSHA's decided to do is, after 22 years of ag retail facilities being exempt from process safety management, they have withdrawn that exemption and given us 6 months for everybody to get into compliance before they intend to start enforcement. And so, there's a whole list of issues we have with that decision. One is that 6 months is nowhere near enough time to get all these facilities into compliance. The justification that OSHA offered was that this is a response to the incident in West Texas where ammonium nitrate blew up. And so it would make sense, or seemed to make sense anyway, that a regulation on ammonium nitrate would make more sense than a sweeping one on anhydrous ammonia. But retailers are scrambling to try to get into compliance with this thing. There's no way they're going to be able to meet the deadline. But I think they're trying, or they're making a decision to get out of the ammonia business altogether.
For OSHA to make such a wide sweeping decision, is there any regulatory procedure above OSHA, or are they able to just make these decisions?
Well, that's a good question, and we're going to find out the answer to that one in court. We maintain that they should have gone through a formal rulemaking process where they could have collected input, had an opportunity to see what the logistical impacts throughout the industry will be from such a sweeping change. Their position is that the exemption was created by a letter of interpretation back when the rule was first put out. Almost days after the first PSM rule was published, they issued an interpretation letter that said ag retail facilities don't have to comply with this requirement. And so they say that all we're doing is changing that guidance document. We didn't need to go through all the process. They underestimated the cost of implementation by at least a factor of 10. We think this is $100 million at least cost impact to the industry. That alone should have justified going through a rulemaking process. So we've challenged the way they come about making the decision along with the Fertilizer Institute, and we'll find out what the court has to say about that question.
And how far along is that in the process?
It's very early on. The litigation's only been filed for a few weeks, and so we're in the phase now where our counsel is conferring with their counsel, which they're represented by the Department of Justice, and we hope to have some additional word on that later this week.
As far as some of those changes that they are requesting from ag retailers, who will be affected and what are some of the changes they're asking for?
Well, it's a move from on the EPA side of the ledger. You've got a program called the Risk Management Program, which is designed to limit and control and manage and prevent releases of toxic chemicals into the air. And so there's a whole series of requirements that match up on EPA's requirements. And then if you add OSHA's process safety management to the list, what you're essentially doing is taking it from program level 2 under EPA's rules to program level 3. And I know that sounds confusing. It's confusing for all of us involved in this too. But what it's going to mean is that in addition to the 8 things that are already being done under risk management program, there's an additional 5 elements that are going to have to be added. Some of those require hiring an outside engineer to come in and draw up plans. Some of them require changes in procedures in terms of how you involve employees in decision making. Some of them require changes in how you handle hot work or when you bring contractors in, what procedure you use to govern their behavior and performance. So there's a whole lot of aspects to it, and we anticipate, based on member feedback, that it's going to cost each one of our outlets at least $20,000 per site in order to come into compliance with just the paperwork and planning process. And then if there's facility improvements you have to make beyond that, those costs will be on top.
If this does go through and into effect before our next planting season, how could that potentially be impacting our farmers?
You'll see some retailers who will make the investment because they want to stay in that business. You'll see other retailers, and I've heard from some of them, who are saying that this is a thin margin business anyway, and I cannot justify putting that investment in to stay in the ammonia business, and so they'll exit. And what that means for farmers is that there will be potentially less ammonia available. It means it'll need to be trucked on the highway in trucks over longer distances to get from facilities that are coming into compliance with PSM to get out to the grower. It may mean that farmers buy ammonia tanks because farmers are exempt from the regulation. We think that having a bunch of farmer-owned ammonia tanks and trucking ammonia longer distances on highways, neither one of those really furthers the mission of safety that OSHA is supposed to be upholding here.
As far as some of the transportation issues also impacting ag retailers, a lot of agriculture moves along on the railroad. And what are some of the changes that are coming up at the end of the year that would also be impacting ag retailers?
Well, there's another one that relates directly to the ammonia situation, and that's the issue of positive train control. This is a congressional mandate, so it's not an administrative agency decision, but Congress wrote the law that said by the end of the year, we need to have positive train control implemented on all of these train tracks to prevent any accidents. And so the deadline was aggressive, and it turns out that none of the Class 1 railroads are going to be able to meet the deadline by the end of the year. And last we heard, the administration is not interested in showing any flexibility on this point. So what the Class 1 railroads have done is notify their customers, if we cannot get an extension on positive train control compliance, we will not ship toxic inhalation products like ammonia starting sometime in November or December. I think they've probably each picked their own date. But the upshot for growers and retailers is that's going to even further restrict the logistics to get ammonia moved into position to serve the farmers' needs.
As far as what's being done, if that extension isn't being pushed back, are you seeing impacts to the farmer or at the retail level at this point, higher demand?
You know, I'm not sure I can answer that one because I'm not in the market every day. A retailer themselves would be the best one to answer that question, but I've got to believe it's going to have an impact when people start to see all these things starting to squeeze on the supply logistics. Now, we are working to get an extension done in Congress. In fact, this is one issue where not only all the agribusiness groups, but the grower organizations, the general farm organizations, and the railroads, we're working all together to get this thing moved because it's all in our interest. But if we're not able to get it moved congressionally, no pun intended, but there could be a big train wreck.
As far as, you know, the need for anhydrous ammonia, why is that so important? Is there an alternative? And is these type of regulations something that would potentially create a new market for something else?
I don't know that it's going to create a new market. One reason ammonia is popular for farmers is that it's the least expensive source of N, pound for pound, to get nitrogen on the ground. And so there are places in the country where the infrastructure is built for ammonia, where the farmers prefer ammonia, they know how to handle it, and so they're going to keep using ammonia as much as they can, and switching to another option will cause investments in new equipment, new training, new approaches, new agronomy. It'll be a costly transition for some of them if they do decide to make a switch or are compelled to make a switch to a different product. But the other thing to keep in mind is that even for the other products, the liquids and the dry formulations of fertilizer that are out there, the feedstock that's used to create the stuff is ammonia. So ammonia has got to be moved somehow anyway. Even if it's not used as an end-use fertilizer, it still has to be transported as a feedstock so that we can make all the other products that people use.
Well, Darren, we appreciate the update on the issues ag retailers are facing at this point. Any last comments or thoughts to wrap us up with?
Well, this is a time when involvement in the political process and in the governance process is really important for farmers, for retailers, anybody along the chain. We're pushing back as hard as we can on some of these things that don't make sense and are going to cause big problems. But if we can get more help from even more people, we'll have a better result.